Welcome to Bite-Sized Frights. This week we continue with part 4 of our 50 States of Fear series, a road trip through some of the most bizarre and terrifying urban legends found across America. This time we delve deep into spooky stateside stories of murderers, monsters, and men in black. Traveling the haunted highways in search of tales that, for many of you, might just be a little too close to home. Fifty States of Fear, Part 4. From New Mexico to South Carolina. This series contains disturbing content. Listener discretion is advised. La Mala Hora, New Mexico. La Mala Hora, literally, the evil hour, is the name given to a strange apparition rumored to stalk the deserted crossroads of rural New Mexico by night. To some, La Mala Hora appears as an amorphous, shifting black blob oozing across the highway. Those who see it in this state are said to be driven instantly and permanently insane. To others, La Mala Hora manifests as a beautiful woman dressed all in white. She will lure travelers astray with her hypnotic charms, causing them to follow her blindly into the desert, never to be seen again. The lucky few who escape her clutches and lived to tell the tale only did so because they noticed La Mala Hora floated rather than walked, or that her feet were on backwards. The most terrifying form La Mala Hora takes is that of an old woman dressed in a black, hooded robe. She will appear out of nowhere in the middle of a dark, country road, causing you to slam on your brakes or swerve to avoid her. In an instant, La Mala Hora will be at your side window, her eyes glowing red, pointed teeth gleaming in her hideous, wrinkled face. If you drive away in fright, she will give chase at inhuman speed, banging on the windows with her clawed fist. If you are lucky, eventually La Mala Hora will fall behind, but in your rear-view mirror you will see her start to grow, stretching taller and taller until her shadowy silhouette looms over the nearby trees. If you do manage to escape, the horror is not over. The mere sight of this black-robed witch is said to be an evil omen. Within days, either you or someone you love will be dead. So if you are ever driving alone through New Mexico after midnight, beware the curse of La Mala Hora. Cropsey, Staten Island, New York. In the 1970s and 80s, the children of Staten Island had their very own bogeyman, Cropsey. A terrifying figure, an escaped madman dressed in a long black coat with a hood that covered his face, Cropsey was said to steal away unruly children and take them to the tunnels beneath an abandoned mental facility deep in the woods. In most versions of the legend, Cropsey had been hideously disfigured and driven quite insane after a childish prank backfired, and now he lives only to kill, sometimes with a bloody hatchet, but usually preferring to use the jagged hook he has in place of a hand. This gruesome origin story inspired numerous works of fiction, including the 1981 slasher horror film, The Burning. Cropsey was an urban legend through and through, used to scare small children into behaving and staying close to home, or to terrify your friends at slumber parties. Then, in the early 1980s, children began to disappear on Staten Island. The horror of the Cropsey legend suddenly became all too real. 12-year-old Jennifer Schweiger went missing on July the 9th, 1987. 35 days later, her remains were found buried in a shallow grave on the grounds of the now-closed Willowbank State School, which had gained notoriety in the 70s when it was revealed that the disabled children who lived there had been subjected to horrific sexual, mental, and physical abuse at the hands of their caregivers. Police arrested a man named Andre Rand, a former custodian of the school who was now living in a makeshift campsite on its abandoned grounds. He was later linked to child kidnappings, assaults, and at least 5 murders dating back to the 1960s. He was jailed for life. It was rumored that Rand had been a Satanist and had taken the children to be sacrificed in the mysterious network of tunnels that ran beneath the Willowbrook State School. It seems that Cropsey, the infamous bogeyman, had been subconsciously inspired by a very real, and perhaps even more sinister, child killer. The Beast of Bladenborough, North Carolina. On the night of December the 29th, 1953, a farmer in Clarkton, North Carolina, called local law enforcement to report that a huge, cat-like creature, almost 6 feet long, had killed his dog and dragged its carcass into the bushes. 2 days later, in the nearby town of Bladenborough, 2 more dead dogs were found near their kennels. They had been torn to pieces, their skulls crushed, and their lower jaws ripped off. Over the next few days, 5 more dogs were killed in Bladen County. All were horribly mutilated. Some were even completely drained of blood. Locals claimed to have seen a strange animal prowling the shadows of this rural area. The descriptions of the creature varied slightly from one encounter to the next, but it seemed as though the dogs had been killed by something monstrous. A hideous, half-bear, half-lion that weighed between 150 and 200 pounds and left footprints the size of a man's fist. Many reported hearing the creature's awful, wailing screech echoing off the dark hills in the dead of night. A hunting party of over 800 people formed to capture and kill the Beast of Bladenborough, but they had little success. Though a few large bobcats were shot, the grisly attacks have continued sporadically for the last 50 years. In the early 2000s, dozens of pets and small animals were killed in a similar way in nearby Rowan County. In September 2006, 60 goats were found dead and drained of their blood in Lexington, North Carolina. Their throats had been torn out and their bodies ripped to pieces. People have claimed the Beast of Bladenborough is a large mountain lion, a cougar, a particularly huge and vicious dog, an escaped lion, a genetic experiment gone wrong, or even a demon from hell itself. Whatever the explanation, it seems there is something roaming the hills and forests of North Carolina, a creature with a taste for blood. Ghost Town, Tagus, North Dakota. Tagus is a ghost town in every sense of the word. In 1976, it boasted a grand total of 14 residents. Now it has none. Well, none living, anyway. The story goes that after Tagus was abandoned in the 1970s, it became a hotbed of paranormal activity. The local Lutheran church was supposedly used by Satanists as a place of worship because, as rumor has it, there is a stairway to hell hidden underneath its floorboards. The church has long since burned down, but if you stand in just the right place in its charred ruins, you can hear the anguished screams of the damned bubbling up from beneath your feet. There are reports of skeletal hellhounds emerging from the darkness to chase anyone unfortunate to be passing through Tagus by night. The doors of the old, abandoned houses creak open and shut of their own accord, while the curtains behind broken windows blow in non-existent winds. Certain gravestones in the nearby cemetery supposedly glow with an eerie, greenish light, while, every so often, a translucent ghost train chugs its way up and down the rusted tracks that run through the tiny town. Thrill seekers, vandals, and ghost hunters alike are drawn to Tagus and its sinister reputation. However, it appears there are those who wish to keep the town and its secrets to themselves, Numerous visitors to Tagus have reported being chased back out of town by a sinister vehicle driving insanely fast. Others have noticed pale figures watching them from the windows of abandoned buildings, or even firing guns at them as they drive past. Perhaps these mysterious guardians are just trying to give us fair warning. If Tagus is as haunted as they say it is, maybe we would all do well to stay as far away as possible. Melonheads, Chardon, Ohio. Rumor has it that late at night, some very strange creatures prowl along Wisner Road on the outskirts of Cleveland, Ohio. The Melonheads. Stunted, humanoid beings with pale skin and huge, bulbous, hairless heads. Though usually timid and reclusive, sometimes they will emerge from the shadows to attack lonely travelers, tear them to pieces, and feast on their flesh. There are numerous different stories regarding the origins of these creepy creatures. Most of the Ohio-based legends revolve around a mysterious figure known as Dr. Crow. He was supposedly carrying out bizarre experiments on orphan children in the basement of the mental facility in which he worked. He kept the children in cages, injecting their skulls with strange liquids that caused their heads to become swollen and misshapen. One day, the deformed orphans decided enough was enough. They rose up against Crow, ripped him limb from limb, burnt the hospital to the ground, and fled into the woods to survive off small animals, birds, insects, and the occasional human. Another version of the tale claims Dr. Crow lived in an isolated cabin with his wife. They were asked to take care of abandoned children suffering from hydrocephalus, a condition that causes infants' heads to swell. Mean-spirited locals began calling the children Melonheads. Dr. Crow and his wife became increasingly protective of their odd little family, and in turn, the children began to see Mrs. Crow as their mother, protector, and savior. When she died suddenly, their world came crashing down. They raged around the cabin, knocking a lantern to the ground. The fire broke out and quickly spread, engulfing everything, including Dr. Crow and all of the children. The Melonheads are supposedly their ghosts, doomed to wander the woods, searching for their beloved mother. While all this may sound like the plot of some B-grade horror movie, there have been dozens of sightings of the Melonheads across Ohio, as well as in Michigan and Connecticut. All we're saying is, keep your mind and your eyes open when traveling Wisner Road at night. Who knows what might be watching you from the shadows. Shaman's Portal, Oklahoma. This bleak expanse of sand in Beaver Dunes Park is said to be Oklahoma's very own Bermuda Triangle. Its sinister history can be traced back as far as the 1500s, when Spanish explorer Francisco Vázquez de Coronado traveled through the area in search of gold, against the advice of his Native American guides. He later wrote in his journal that as he crossed the dunes, several members of his expedition party suddenly vanished in a flash of green light, never to be seen again. Coronado declared it was the work of the devil, and since then, the barren sands of Shaman's Portal have been blamed for numerous mysterious disappearances. The local Native American tribes have supposedly avoided the area for centuries, though its eerie reputation continues to this day. There are rumors that something odd is buried beneath those shifting sands. Some claim it is an ancient burial ground or a portal to some mysterious world or parallel universe. Others believe that the dunes are the site of a UFO crash landing. Visitors to the park have reported seeing military-looking individuals digging at Shaman's Portal in the middle of the night, and geologists working in the area have supposedly found their equipment rendered useless by unexplained electromagnetic interference. Dr. Mark Thatcher, an archaeologist from Oklahoma State University, is said to have spent 3 years researching the area. He was forced to abandon the project after he was visited by shady,
threatening government figures, closely fitting the description of the notorious Men in Black, who, according to the stories, exist only to suppress information relating to anything extraterrestrial or paranormal. These are not wise-cracking sci-fi movie heroes. These men are cold, ruthless, and potentially deadly. According to local legend, anyone who learns the truth about the secrets of Shaman's Portal vanishes without a trace, just like Coronado's men did almost 500 years earlier. Is this the work of some ancient curse, UFOs, or the mysterious, murderous Men in Black? The Bandage Man, Cannon Beach, Oregon. A rather peculiar spirit is said to haunt the stretch of Highway 101 that passes by the small town of Cannon Beach in Oregon. As the story goes, one night in the early 1960s, a young couple parked their truck on the overlook near the beach, searching for a little privacy. Suddenly, their vehicle began to rock violently from side to side. They span quickly around to look out the rear window and saw a man crouched in the truck bed. He was hideously disfigured, his whole body covered in bloody, scabbed, pus-stained bandages. He was hammering on the roof of the truck and howling like some wild animal. The terrified couple jammed the vehicle into gear and tore down Highway 101, with the bandaged man still clinging on and beating his fists bloody on the rear window. Then, without warning, he mysteriously vanished into thin air. In the years since, numerous drivers have reported a man covered in filthy bandages jumping into or attacking their cars on Highway 101, or claimed to have seen him shambling out of the darkness on Cannon Beach itself to terrorize lovers walking by moonlight. The Bandage Man is said to be the ghost of a logger who died after suffering horrific injuries at a nearby sawmill in the 1950s. So terrible were his wounds that he had to be wrapped head to toe in bandages to try and stem the bleeding. But it was too late. His arrival is preceded by the hideous smell of rotting meat, and when he disappears, only scraps of bloody, crusted bandage are left behind. Rumor has it he kills stray dogs and cats to feast on their flesh, and seems particularly drawn to slow-moving trucks and open-topped cars such as convertibles, all the better to leap inside. Perhaps the Bandage Man is looking to change his diet and add a little human to the menu. Charlie Noface, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The story goes that sometime in the 1950s, a young man named Charlie was killed when he crawled into a power substation as a dare. His face was melted by a huge surge of electricity. Charlie was dead, but not gone. His restless ghost wandered the abandoned Piney Fork Railroad tunnel, blind and faceless, his skin glowing a sickly green. If you drove into the tunnel at night, turned off your lights and called out for Charlie and No-Face, he would emerge, stumbling from the darkness. If he managed to touch your vehicle, the engine would stall, and you would be doomed to spend eternity with that lonely ghost, trapped in the blackness of the tunnel. A creepy urban legend indeed, but one based on a shocking true story. In 1919, 9-year-old Raymond Robinson was horribly disfigured in a freak electrical accident while trying to reach a bird's nest atop some power lines. 22,000 volts passed through his body. Ray lost his left arm, his nose, and his eyes, while the rest of his face became a bloated, melted mass of flesh. As poor Ray grew older, he realized his appearance scared passers-by, so began to take his walks late at night. He had to slather his damaged skin in petroleum jelly, which shone a ghostly green in the light from passing cars. It did not take long for rumors to spread that a faceless, glowing green monster was prowling the streets of Pennsylvania by night. By the late 1960s, vast traffic jams formed every night along the roads near Ray's home, as hundreds of people gathered with ghoulish delight, hoping to catch a glimpse of Charlie No-Face. It seems that this spooky story has a very earthly origin, but one that is no less tragic for it. Mercy Brown, The Last Vampire, Exeter, Rhode Island. It seemed that George Brown's family was cursed. In 1884, his wife, Mary Eliza, died after contracting tuberculosis, a terrible respiratory illness known then as consumption. 2 years later, his eldest daughter, Mary Olive, was killed by the same dreaded disease. Then in 1891, his son Edwin and youngest daughter Mercy became deathly ill themselves. Edwin was sent south in the hope that warmer weather would cure him, but he returned in 1892 in a far worse state. While he had been gone, Mercy had died and been buried alongside her mother and sister. Edwin's condition continued to deteriorate. Rumors began to swirl around the town. The local superstition was that if many members of a single family were struck down by consumption, it meant one of the deceased was a vampire, draining the life force from the remaining living relatives. Despite George Brown's vehement protests, the bodies of his family were exhumed from their graves. Mary Eliza and Mary Olive were little more than rotted skeletons, but Mercy, who had been dead for over 9 weeks, looked merely asleep and showed not a sign of decomposition. The doctor found there was still blood in her organs, and this was enough to convince the townspeople that Mercy Brown was a vampire. They quickly reburied her corpse, but not before they had torn out her heart and liver. These they burned to ashes, which were then mixed with water and fed to Edwin as a cure for his consumption. He died 2 months later. Superstitious nonsense, I hear you cry. This is all true, and it happened only a little over 100 years ago. You can still visit Mercy Brown's grave, though it is rumored that many strange and unsettling things happen near that tombstone in the dead of night. Perhaps you should save the sightseeing until morning, just to be on the safe side. Boo Hags, South Carolina. In local Gullah folklore, Boo Hags are grotesque, parasitic humanoid creatures, similar in a way to vampires, but rather than blood, they gain sustenance from the breath of their human prey. Boo Hags have no skin. Their red, raw, bloody bodies are exposed to the air. In order to hide in plain sight, they steal the skins of their victims to wear for as long as the fleshy suit will hold out. Once a Boo Hag has chosen you as a suitable target, it will wait until the dead of night, crawl out of its borrowed skin, and then slither into your home through any small crack or crevice it can find. The hag will then scuttle into your bedroom, perch on your chest, and begin sucking in your breath. Usually this will render you unconscious, trapped in a deep, dreamless sleep, so that the Boo Hag can return night after night, stealing away your strength until you are nothing but a husk, ready to be skinned and left to suffer. However, if you wake while the hag is feeding, you will be unable to move. All you can do is stare up into its hideous, skinless face while it slowly drains every breath from your body. The only way to save yourself once a Boo Hag has chosen you as a victim is to sleep with a broom next to your bed. Supposedly the hag will become distracted with counting every bristle and, once dawn arrives, will be trapped in her skinless state forever, unable to stalk any further prey. It is believed that the legend of the Boo Hag stems from the very real medical condition of sleep paralysis, where sufferers often experience terrifying nightmares and visits from monstrous entities whilst being unable to move from their beds. Or, perhaps, there is something to these skinless horrors. Best keep a broom by the bed, just in case. We would love to hear your own thoughts and ideas about these unsettling urban legends. Please join us next week where we will continue our road trip through the 50 states of fear. If you have enjoyed this episode, Please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PixelElixir, and on Instagram at Bite-Sized Frights. You can also subscribe at BiteSizedFrights.com so that you never miss any of our terrifying tales. This has been a Pixel Elixir production, narrated by Chris Kay. Thank you for listening. Until the next bite, my friends.